We need to read the Word of God together this morning, and we do so from the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. Proverbs, chapter 4. We're going to read this portion of God's Word that we read last Lord's Day, verses 1 through 27. This is the Word of God that we have the privilege of hearing this day. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts, do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight, do not forget, and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your path, or your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness that do not know. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them from within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forwards and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Amen, and may God bless the reading of His Word to us this morning. Raising children is never easy. Last Lord's Day, I preached in this passage and drew three lessons from it for those of us who are fathers. They were, fathers need to teach by instruction and example. Fathers need to teach with a passion and an extreme earnestness. And fathers need to teach with fearless clarity. But you know, whilst raising children is never easy, being raised as a child isn't easy either. First, there's a competition that's going on in your life between what you are in your home and what you see in the world around you. Growing up as a young person is very, very difficult. There's a physical changes that go on in your life. Then there's all the emotional drama of working out, who am I? Where's my place within this family? Where's my place within my class? Where's my place within the community that is the church? Then there's all the inconsistency that you see. You're told to do one thing, and yet you see inconsistency in the adults that tell you to do that. It's no wonder at times as young people you feel lost. There's this turmoil within inside you which is saying, who am I? How do I reference to other people? What do they think of me? Do they like me? Do they not like me? Is my character attractive? Is it not attractive? Do I look physically attractive? Or am I physically unattractive? And then the people who are telling you to do this and to do that in your life, you look at them and you say, and I'm taking here of your parents, you say, well, it would be good if there would be a bit of consistency here. It would be good if you would actually do what you're telling me to do. It can be genuinely, genuinely difficult growing up. And that's not even getting into the realms of what the world is throwing at you. That's not even dealing with the fact that the world is coming and saying to you, listen, that way of life that you're being told about in your family, that way of life that you're hearing about in church, that's a load of nonsense. That's not reality. That's not what normal people do. We haven't even addressed the issue of what the world says to you about what is real, what is attractive, what is joyful, what is winsome. But it's because it is difficult growing up that God gives you very clear, unequivocal, and non-negotiable instruction in His Word as to how you are to listen, how you are to learn, and how you are to live. It is because God knows and understands the difficulty of life in terms of growing up that God gives you this truth in order to give you the parameters, in order to give you the fences, in order to give you the context which you then can embrace and work through for yourself. It's because of God's love for you that He doesn't leave you bereft of lessons how to live your life. And I want to speak to you as young people this morning under the following three headings. You need to be attentive to your father's instruction and example, because it is your father's instruction and example. You need to think about and accept what you have been taught, because you have been taught it with a passion and a genuine earnestness. And you need to embrace what you have been taught with all your heart and live. For if you reject it, you shall die. You need to be attentive to your father's instruction and example, because it is your father's instruction and example. Young people, I know that your father says stuff at times and doesn't do it. I know because I am a father. I know not because I think that every other father feels in the way that I feel. I know because the Word of God tells us all that fathers are redeemed slaves who still have vestiges of the old man within them. Now, that's not an excuse for your fathers saying one thing and doing another. But it is a statement of the factual reality that your father is one who will genuinely fight to put those things to death and yet often fail. And what is true of your father is also true of your mother. They will fail you. They will be inconsistent. Not because they choose to deliberately act in that way, but because they are redeemed sinners who still struggle with the old man. That is not an excuse. It's a statement of the reality. And we have to deal with the reality. There is absolutely no point in dealing with the make-believe, because the make-believe does not do you any good. Having said that, the fact remains that your father, and if he does love Christ and he is seeking to fulfill his God-given responsibility to instruct you, the fact remains that you must, as Solomon right here in chapter 4, verse 1, you must hear his instructions. You must hear his instructions. And you must be attentive to those instructions. Chapter 4, verse 1 and chapter 4, verse 20. Hear, O sons of father's instruction, be attentive. Chapter 4, verse 20. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Young people, you must hear what your father is saying to you as he counsels you in the ways of God, and you must be attentive to it. Why? Why? Why must you listen? You must listen because of who your father is, and importantly, because of the words he is speaking. Your father is your father, and you're duty bound by God to honour and obey him. It's such a serious thing to honour our parents that God made it one of the 10 commandments that he gave to his people and all mankind. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honour your father and your mother. Now that goes for children of all ages. It doesn't just apply to the child or the adolescent or the teenager or the person in their early 20s. That goes to all of us. We must all honour our parents. But it is clearly applicable to those who are younger. There is a need for this honouring and obeying of parents. It is clearly and singularly taught by God in his word. Of the 10 commands that he gives to mankind, 5 concerning our relationship with God, and 5 concerning our interpersonal relationships with other people. That is one of those second group of 5. It's a command that Paul reiterates in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. This is right. And then he goes on and he says, honor your father and mother. This is the first command with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Here is Paul teaching the church concerning relationships between individuals within the family and within the church. And he's very explicit when he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is not an idle command. God does not issue commands lightly. God has very, very good reasons for doing so. And we all need to heed them. Young people, you need to listen to and be attentive to your father's instruction because he is your father. He will fail you. He will disappoint you. He will be inconsistent. That is because he is a redeemed slave of sin. But that does not negate your responsibility to hear and be attentive to him. You have no right to look at him and say, I am not going to listen. Because this matter is not between you and your father. It is between you and God. You and God. And God has given you the responsibility of hearing and attentively listening to what your father says to you concerning the ways of God. The second reason why you need to hear and be attentive to your father is because of the words that he is speaking. You need to listen because we read in verse 1 of chapter 4 that his words, and through the words that he will give you in line with the word of God, you will gain insight. Verse 2, they are words which are good precepts. They are beneficial, in other words. Verse 7, they are the words that are the beginning of wisdom. Verse 9, they are words that will bring success and joy. A garland that is graceful, a crown that is beautiful. Verse 10, they are words of life, that the years of your life may be many. Verse 12, they are words that will keep you from being hampered, and they are words that will prevent you from stumbling. Verse 13, they are the words of life. Verse 22, they are life in these words. They are life. Here we have in these words that your father speaks to you words of wisdom, insight, joy, beauty, graceful garland, life, preserving the way you walk, guarding the way you walk, blessing you at every turn. If you will but hear and listen to what your father says and your mother concerning the ways of life, you shall be blessed. Because those words are the words of life. They are the words of life. When your father sits with you and opens up the word of God and seeks to instruct you, you need to hear what he says. When your father sits with you and opens up the word of God and seeks to instruct you, you need to actually listen to what he says. I know that many of you, as young people, and for this we give thanks to God, you are brighter than your fathers. I give thanks to God that I see in my own children a level of ability which will no doubt outstrip me. I can see it already. But listen, don't confuse God-given gifts of the mind with biblically gained wisdom. We give thanks to God for your ability. We delight in that ability. We look forward to the day when you will go on and progress and develop your mind and your heart. We encourage that. We've always invested in you that way. We've invested in you in prayer, and we've invested in you financially. And we will keep on doing that. And that's no small thing. For a church of this size to spend £2,000 or £3,000 a year sending you off to camps and the mission teams. That's not a small thing. That's not just something we just do. We're not a church here with a huge, huge budget. We delight in that. We cherish to do that. But don't sit when your father is with the word of God open or he's giving you counsel. Don't sit there and daydream. Our educational system has developed a capacity within many of the young people in our society today to daydream their way through learning. Sitting in class where something has been taught by someone who's not really interested, who wants to get a salary, who just is there because it suits them, teaching a subject which you're not really interested in, and you get that very, very quickly, and you buy into that quickly, and you just sit there, and it goes in one ear and out the other. And then occasionally, in a subject that really grips you, you begin to listen. But what that effectively does in terms of your learning ability and your learning capacity is it switches you off. And often when you're sitting possibly with your father, you're thinking, sitting to yourself saying, well, I know more than him. I really do. He hasn't seen the real world that I live in today. We all did that. That's not something peculiar to you. That doesn't mean you're bad. You're not bad. That doesn't mean that you're being criticized. You're not being criticized. That's just a fact of life. But the bottom line is that your father will have gained a wisdom from God. He may not always perfectly demonstrate that, but he will have gained a wisdom. And if he takes the time to sit down and open up the Word of God, you make sure that you hear the command of God, that you don't sit and daydream and sit there and think, I wonder when this will be over. Because you cannot afford to daydream your way through that particular lesson. That lesson is not just simply about passing an exam. That lesson is a lesson of life. And if you do not hear and be attentive to what God is saying to you through your father, regardless of how simple your father is giving it to you, regardless of how plain his example is to you, unless you don't, if you do not hear him and you do not imbibe that, then you're placing yourself in a very, very dangerous place. Because he is a father that God has given to you. He is a father that God has given to you to love you. And if he is your father, loves you to such a degree that he will instruct you in that way, then you must, by God's grace, listen to him. Do not daydream. Be attentive. You need to think about and accept what you have been taught. Because you have been taught it with a passion and a genuine earnestness. You have, as young people, been blessed and privileged. It is a fact. When you think about young people your own age, in your class at school, whose parents have no interest in God at all, the words that come out of their mouth demonstrate a clear rejection of God. The fact that you have been brought to worship and taught the things of God and exposed to the worship of God and have been done so with a passion is a great blessing to you. You have been extraordinarily blessed. Sometimes we don't really look at the way in which God has blessed us as a community, as a church. We look at the wrong things. We don't look at the good things, the right things. We don't look at the fact that there is a delight in the hearing of God's word. We don't look at the fact that there is a delight to gather to read the Word of God and study the Word of God during the week. We don't look at the fact that there is this sense of communion around prayer. It's almost as though it has become just a routine for us. And yet, God has blessed us in some amazing ways. If truth be told, our students that were here with CTI, I wished that you had had the privilege to sit sometimes in class and to hear them speak and to hear of their sense of overwhelmed joy just at being here. and the exposure they were having to the Word of God, and the way in which their minds were being stimulated and their hearts encouraged and inflamed to embrace God. And they weren't being critical of their families, nor were they being critical of their own churches. I would not have allowed them to have been so. But their sense of experiencing what they did really came through. And young people, you have been exposed to that not for a month or 2 months or 3 months, not for a year or two, but for 10, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 years. You've had this love and affection and the Word of God being poured into you. And you need to get it. And we thank God that many of you are getting it. That you are getting wisdom. That you are getting insight. That you are pursuing after the ways of righteousness. That as you hear it and as you listen to it attentively, it is coming to you with a power. And I would just keep on encouraging you, as the writer says in verse 5, get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget what you hear. Don't let the words escape from your sight, as he says in verse 21. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. Don't turn away from the words that you're hearing. Do not turn your back on them. Don't forsake her. Verse 6. Don't take this word that has been given to you, this wisdom that has been given to you and has been presented to you with a passion from the lips, a passion from the heart, a passion in many tangible ways that has been given to you with a genuine earnestness. It's been given to you with real love. Don't take that and forsake it. Don't take that and forget it. Don't take that and turn your back on it. Think about it. Accept it. Get it. Get it. Get it. Get it. There are many things in the world that you're told to pursue and get. Get this. Get that. Get the other thing. Get an education. Yes, we long to see you use the gifts that God has given you. Get a job. Yes, we want to see you become productive members of society. Yes, get married. We want to see you marry godly husbands and wives and set up covenant homes. Get a house. Yes, we want to see you be provided for with shelter. We want to see you grow and mature. We want to see you gain all these things for your life. But the thing that we want to see you get is getting God, is getting wisdom, is getting insight. We don't want you to forget her. We don't want you to forsake her. We don't want you to turn your back on her. It gives us no joy at all. And you need to embrace her with your heart and live it out. You need to embrace it with your heart. There's more to just hearing. There's more to it than just being attentive. There's more to just thinking about it. There's more to just accepting it. You see, you can accept something and it can have no impact on your life. Just one of the things that you accept. You just accept it. But you see, what we're talking about here is a huge issue of the heart. And you get this. You get the issue of the heart because you're at a stage in life when your emotions and your feelings are high. You know what it means to be thinking about being loved and loving. And so when you hear the psalmist or the writer of Proverbs say in verse 4, let your heart hold fast my words, that doesn't come across to you in a dry way. You know what it means to use your heart to embrace words. When it says, verse 6, that we are to love her, you know what that means when it says that you are to prize her, verse 8, that you are to embrace her, that you're to keep hold of my instruction, verse 13, that you're to keep her within your heart, verse 22. This is language that you understand. This is the language of love. This is the language of communion. This is the language of fellowship. And I would say to you that the most important thing in your life and the greatest danger that you have, because you've all been exposed, whether you have an earthly father or not, you've been exposed in terms of the life of this church. You've been exposed to the Word of God. And many of you have listened and you have been attentive. And for that we rejoice. We rejoice. You have listened. We are proud of you because you have listened. Not arrogantly proud, but it fills our hearts with joy as parents and as people in the church to see you listening. And we have delighted to see you think about these things and accept them, not just as something that you do until you're 13 or 14 and then walk away from. We delight in the fact that we see evidence of that. But the thing that we want to really see is that as professing Christians, you embrace this truth, not just mentally, but with your whole heart being. That you will love God with all your soul and all your mind and with all your heart. Christianity is about the heart. God loves a contrite heart. He loves a broken heart. He loves a humble heart. He loves a heart that will accept the things of God. Not a mind that is able to understand and comprehend the theology and accept it in an intellectual way. He's not interested in merely an intellectual appreciation of who he is. He's not interested in merely an outward giving of oneself that will satisfy a parent. God is grossly disinterested in that. You see that throughout his word in the Old Testament. He despises, he loathes religion that doesn't flow from the heart. And what we want to see in your life, and what I would exhort you to do, what I would encourage you to do, is to embrace the Word of God and the things of God with your whole heart. Let your heart hold fast. Let your heart embrace. Let your heart comprehend. Let these words militate or filtrate into your mind and down into your heart. Take this religion to be your religion. You embrace Christianity for your own. Don't embrace her because your father embraces her, or because your mother embraces her, or because someone else in the church embraces her. Embrace her because she is to be embraced for who she is. Receive her as the graceful garland that she is. Embrace her because of the beautiful crown that she will bestow on your head. Prize her highly because she will exalt you. Take her and love her. Love her with all your heart. Love her with all your soul. And love her with all your mind. And in order for to do that, you need to make some clear decisions. You have to keep your heart. Verse 23. Keep your heart with the things of God. Keep your heart with vigilance. You see, the heart is deceitful above all things. The heart is deceitful above all things. And it's extremely easy. It's extremely easy to lose your way. You have to guard your heart, young people. For your life flows from your heart. It doesn't flow from what's in your mind. It flows from what's in your heart. You must put away speech that is crooked. You must turn your eyes from that which is offensive to God. You must look directly forwards. You must put a gaze that is straight. And you must watch where your feet walk. Do not, as he says in verse 14, enter the path of the wicked. You see how he speaks about it? Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it. Pass on. Don't go near the way of the world. For it is darkness and it is death. Verse 19. Don't even consider it. Don't even negotiate with it. Don't play the silly game of, well, I have to see what it's like. Nowhere in God's word does God say to us, you need to see what it's like. Everywhere he says, do not enter, do not walk, do not go on it. He puts a frame there that says, don't touch it. For it has nothing for you but darkness and death. But in order for you, and this is where you're vulnerable, in order for you to be able to do that, as you grow up, you have to make this religion your heart. Your heart. If you do not make her your heart, your mind won't stop you from doing wrong. Because you'll argue the way around your mind. If you have her in your heart, if you have God in your heart, if you have the Word of God in your heart, if you love the things of God in your heart, then you will be able to guard your life. You will be able to guard your speech. You will be able to guard your eyes. You will be able to guard your feet. You will not swerve to the right or to the left. Because you see, when your mind comes to the point of considering it, your heart will say to you, no. No. No, no, no. It's your heart. It's your heart that stops you. And onto YouTube last night. And it was on YouTube. I very rarely go on it. The only time I go on to it is to listen to Chris Rea songs. I don't really know anything about Chris, about YouTube. I just know that when all your favourites, they'll flash up to you things that you might want to hear. And so mine had 10 Chris Rea, or 8, whatever it is, 4 and 3. But one of them, one of the things that flashed up was 4 young girls in a bikini. Something about friends. And I thought, will I click on that? And then I thought, no, I didn't argue with my mind. It was my heart said, no, you're not going to do that. Now, I may have been wholly innocent. May have been completely innocent. And I have never looked at anything on that. Nature on the internet. Never. But you see, my heart said no. Don't go near it. Your mind can be got round. But your heart, it can't be got round. And if you will embrace her, and you will prize her, and you will keep hold of the instruction of God. And if you delight in the things of God, then your heart will enable you to keep your speech and your eyes and your feet from wandering. And they will keep you from the way of darkness. And they will keep you from stumbling. And they will keep you from death. Your father will get it wrong, even though he tries his best. Many of you have embraced these things with your mind, having listened. And I want to keep encouraging you to keep on embracing them with your heart. with your heart. With your heart. Love him with all your heart, soul, and mind. And he will place a garland around your neck and a beautiful crown upon your head. And the world may laugh at you, but Christ will delight in you. Amen.